This is InfoTrack, a balanced look at today's most important issues. Once again, here's Chris Whitting.
Parents should ask better questions of their kids beyond, "How was school today?" An expert says it only takes 10 minutes a day to really connect. InfoTrack reporter Jim Anthony has the story. Jim?
Thanks, Chris. My guest is Amy Morin. She's a psychotherapist, clinical social worker, and instructor at Northeastern University. She is also author of several best-selling books, among them 13 Things Mentally Strong Parents Don't Do, and the topic of discussion today. Her TED Talk, The Secret of Becoming Mentally Strong, is one of the most viewed talks of all time, more than 24 million views. Wow. Amy, welcome to InfoTrack.
Thank you so much for having me.
As a parent, I have fallen into this trap. Why does the simple question, "How was school today?" so often shut kids down? And what's really going on for them emotionally when parents ask that question?
So a lot of kids just feel like that is the go-to question parents are going to ask. There's no creativity that goes into it. It doesn't really encourage them to think critically about their day. And that's why so many of us just get that sort of eye roll or a grunt rather than an answer about how they're doing. So it's important to pinpoint more of a question that helps you get to what you're really wanting to know, whether you want to know about their emotions or how their day went with their friends. But when you get specific, you'll get a lot more specific answers.
So from your work as a therapist, what do parents often misunderstand about their child's silence, if you will, after school?
So a lot of times parents will think that that means that their kids don't want to talk or that their kids aren't interested in sharing. But really, it's more about the question. It's just such a vague, generic question that kids don't even know where to begin. But we often interpret that as that our kids just aren't interested in telling us about what actually happened during the day.
You encourage parents to ask more thoughtful questions. What makes a question spark conversation instead of a one-word answer?
When you ask something specific about part of their day, whether it be about recess or about their friends, it means that then they don't have to do the emotional labor of trying to think through, oh yeah, what did happen today? And it also gives them permission to have a little more fun with it. We can ask questions that spark some interest, that spark some creativity, and that help them actually stay more engaged in the conversation. And then they want to give us an answer.
So when you ask what was the best part of your day, why is focusing on positives so powerful for kids' mental health?
So a lot of kids will focus on what went wrong because their brains are just naturally going to gravitate toward the problem they had at lunch or the difficult test that they had during the day. But when we ask them a question about the positive, it causes them to pause for a minute and think, ooh, okay, what was the best part of the day? And even if they say, well, the best part was lunch or snack or recess, that's okay. That can give you a ton of insight into what they're doing, how they're feeling, and where their joy comes from during the school day.
When my son was young, I'd say when he was about maybe 10, 11 years old, I would ask him, you know, what was the best part of your day? And by and large, it was either PE or recess. And after a while, I would get tired of that response and kind of cut him off a little bit. In hindsight, I regret my actions in doing that because I don't think it was really productive on my part.
Well, you know, and a lot of parents, I think, will find that. Like every day, my kid says the best part of the day is recess. And that's great. Once you realize that, then you can get more specific about who did you play with at recess? Did anything interesting happen at recess today? What was a problem that you solved during recess? Or if you were the teacher and you were in charge of recess, what changes would you make? You could start to get more creative with it if you know your child's answer is always going to be one specific thing.
You also say that another favorite question is, what's a mistake you learned from today? So how does talking about mistakes help kids build that resilience and a growth mindset, which you advocate for?
So often we ask them, like, how did you do on your science test today? Or did you get all of your homework done? And we're really asking them to prove to us that they're performing well. And that puts a lot of pressure on kids. So we want to talk about mistakes because mistakes are part of the learning process. But if you don't ever talk about it, kids think that mistakes are bad or that they need to hide their mistakes or that they can't come to you when they make one. So it can be much better to just ask kids, what's a mistake you learned from today? and then celebrate their courage for trying. Maybe they invited somebody to play with them at recess and the person didn't say okay, and then they were sad about it. Let's talk about it. Or maybe you forgot to do your math homework last night. What could we do differently today? It just opens the door to problem solving and to teaching kids that mistakes are part of the process and that's okay. It's all about how you recover from those mistakes when you make them.
You know, in this age of TikTok, Instagram, and the like, inundating our children, not to mention adults as well, as I mentioned, you advocate a growth mindset for kids. But as parents, how do we compete in this world of social media? I see a lot of kids today, and adults as well. I mean, we're all guilty of it. We are just constantly in our phones day and night or in front of a screen. So, how do we compete in this world of social media?
Oh, you're absolutely right. So a few things are, first, to monitor our own use. If we're on the phone during dinner or when our kids are talking to us and we're kind of passively scrolling as they speak to us, unfortunately, we're sending them that message that the things on our phones are more important than the people right in front of us. So that's where it starts, is with being much more considerate of our own phone use. And it can also be important for parents to set some time aside where we aren't using our devices. A digital detox can be incredibly powerful for kids, and it doesn't have to be a month-long detox or anything like that. But even if you said, on Saturdays until 4 p.m., we're not going to do anything with screens. Something as simple as that can make a huge difference for kids because it helps remind them that they can still play board games, they can go outside, they can do all of this stuff without any distractions. But as parents, we need to make sure we're following the same rules too. And then to have some time during the day where we don't use screens. So set some rules. During dinner, we don't use our screens. Or after 7 p.m., we shut everything off and we start to wind down for the evening. We read books, play games, we talk. But to have those conversations, make some rules about that, and then to talk to kids about being savvy with what's on their devices. They need to know that all the information they're getting on social media isn't necessarily true. We need to have open and honest conversations about what they're going to be bombarded with, and then to talk again about what to do when they make a mistake, because kids are going to do that. We want them to come to us when they do. So if your child says, hey, I was talking to this person and I think I made a mistake, we want them to then know they can come to the adults to get some help when those things come about.
If parents try these different questions and their child still shrugs it off or resists or gives you that one word answer, in order for the parent not to get frustrated, what do you feel they should do next if those open-ended types of probing questions of engagement just aren't working with a child?
So you can experiment with a couple of different things. One is, if we're too intense about it, if your child walks straight in the door and we start peppering them with questions, they're going to be overwhelmed or feel like they're interrogated. So you might wait until later on in the evening. Sometimes kids will talk in a situation where they're not looking at you. So sometimes riding in the car is really good. As you're both looking ahead, kids start talking. We can find natural ways to strike up conversation too. You turn on the radio and talk about the lyrics of a song. Or tell them a story from your own life. Maybe it was a news article that you read that was interesting, or you ran into somebody, and just have some conversations along those lines. And kids are also much more likely to talk when you're doing something. If you're playing pass, for instance, or kicking a ball back and forth, kids will naturally usually start to talk. So just because they're not answering the questions you're asking doesn't mean that you're doing anything wrong or they're not invested in talking. It's just really about spending quality time with them and opening up to them, and then making sure that we're leaving that opportunity available so that they can open up to us too.
If you had to give parents just like one mindset shift to remember when trying to connect with their kids after school or in the evening, what would that be? What would be the key here?
Just spending quality time. It could just be 10 minutes a day without any devices, without anything going on, and showing kids that we appreciate them for who they are, even if they got a grade that was lower than they expected or they're struggling with a certain issue. Just making sure that they know that they are loved, appreciated, and that we really want to spend time with them is really all that it takes.
Amy Morin is our guest. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I'm Jim Anthony for InfoTrack.
You're listening to InfoTrack, a production of Syndication Networks.